Welcome back to Confronting the Serpent, the podcast where we discuss cults, false teachers, and bad religion by revealing their lies with scriptures and proclaiming the truth of the gospel. I'm Eric, here with Pastor Aaron. How are you doing today, Aaron?
I'm doing well. How are things with you?
Pretty good. We got a pretty cool subject going on today, one that's pretty close to you.
Yes.
That's Armstrongism, or what else is it called?
The Worldwide Church of God was the name of the cult proper, but the kind of theology that they believe has been called Armstrongism after the founder, Herbert W. Armstrong.
So he's the founder, and they actually don't want it called Armstrongism.
Yeah, Armstrongism to them is like a slur. It's like a disrespectful kind of term.
Okay. So we should call it Armstrongism.
Yes. The whole time. Yes. So yeah, because call it Armstrongism, they're like, oh, you're not adherent. No, well, very true. I'm not an adherent, and no one should be. So, but yes, Worldwide Church of God was the name of his proper ministry when he was doing it. And unfortunately, there are many, many splinter groups, as we've seen.
And where did Herbert get this from? Did he come up with it himself, or is this another divine revelation from some weird angel that appeared to him in a dream?
Yes, he actually did kind of get this himself, but even though he does not claim to have this kind of angelic visitation like some other cult leaders have, he does not sell himself short by any means or stretch of the imagination. He literally reads himself into the text. He literally reads himself into the words of Jesus. He believes John the Baptist spoke of him,
Does he believe that he is who Jesus talked about when he talked about John the Baptist? Is that what?
He believes that, and his followers, the people that were a part of this cult and are still believe, that hold him to the extent of being an apostle or prophet. They believe that when the Pharisees came to John the Baptist and they were asking for an account of who he was and who he is, they said, are you the Christ? He said, I'm not the Christ. They said, are you Elijah? He said, I'm not Elijah. And they said, are you the prophet? And he says, no, I'm not the prophet. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. They believe that when they asked that third question, are you the prophet? That there was a prophet that was going to come and that Herbert W. Armstrong was him.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So he doesn't claim that like an angel came or took him up into heaven or anything like that. But he definitely doesn't sell himself short by any means. He definitely believed and taught, and his followers believed, that he was a prophesized about prophet that would come post Christ.
Wow, that's crazy too.
Yes, literally, yeah.
It kind of sounded like he puts himself at like the level of an apostle.
Yes, he absolutely does.
Apostle as in
like Peter. Paul, Peter, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he claims to have apostolic authority. He claims to have seen the real truth in scripture, which is something that, man, anytime you hear that, like I've learned something or I see something that no one else sees. You know, we're a 2,000-year-old faith post-Christ. You know, the church, the people of God have been here since the beginning as God's given his word from Adam and on. Anytime someone claims to have something no one else has ever said, that's false. You know, because this isn't a new faith. We're not supposed to be saying new, brand new doctrines and theologies.
Well, especially when it goes against what was previous.
Yes.
A lot of people are like, oh, the New Testament contradicts the Old Testament, but it actually doesn't. Without the Old Testament, the New Testament doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
And if the New Testament doesn't happen, then the Old Testament makes no sense.
Yes.
So, and we should have an episode about that sometime,
maybe. Yeah.
So tell us about, how does this relate to you? Where does this come in your life?
So this particular cult and this particular man has had a huge impact on me and is a big reason why just the devastating effects of false teaching and calling out false prophets and false teachers mean so much to me is because my biological father, he was a part of this cult. He adhered to this teachings. He had believed it. And because of it, it really messed with him in a lot of different ways. And so it led to him being an incredibly racist man, because this cult does have very racist views. This is in a lot of ways a white supremacy cult. And so even though there are African Americans and other nationalities, ethnicities that follow it, I have no idea why. I have no idea why anyone, especially minorities, would be a part of this cult. But my biological dad, he grew up being raised believing this. And the person who got him into it was his older brother, my uncle. And so this salvation of works, this belief of that our identity is more in our ethnicity than it is in Christ, and all kinds of just like horrible false beliefs that come with this really wrecked him and by proxy affected me in a huge way.
So you grew up with your dad being a part of this cult, and he was, you know, you'd say like a practicing member, or an active member, essentially. This mm-hmm. is what he believed. And growing up through this as a child, you saw all this, you've seen all this, the racism, not knowing it at the time, false teaching and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this really resonates with you. So this is probably a huge deal for you to go through this one today.
Yeah, especially thinking about how like false teaching kills people. False teaching devastates people's lives. And to see this kind of heresy, this kind of lie, just the way the impact it had on him, thus the impact it had on me and things I'm still working through and processing because of all of that. Like, I can even remember a time where my dad said to me once, he's like, I'm going to take you to my church. And I didn't grow up with him. I was raised by my grandparents on my mom's side. So I was around my biological dad some, not every day, but he said, I'm going to take you to my church. We're going to come. And I remember telling my mom, my grandmother, that. And it was a really big deal. I'm like, what'd I just do? I was confused. He's like, he's not taking you to that church. He's not doing that. You're not going there. And I'm like, what's the big deal? I was confused then. But now looking back, first of all, like, I'm very glad my mom, my grandmother, she wasn't passive about that. She said, this isn't going to happen. He's not going to say this to you. You're not going to go here. You're not going to do that. And so the impression that made on her as being something that like was not like, oh, well, don't know. It like got a reaction from her. It stirred her up. It caused her to like say like no, like she met that occasion and saying like, I'm gonna protect you from this. And so she guarded me from lies out of her love for Christ, her love for truth, and her love for me. And so that's really resonated with me as thinking about cults and false teachings, that the way these impact people and the way they impact families and the way they've impacted me, not just Armstrongism. We talked about like in the intro where, you know, seeing my grandfather, my dad died when I was 10. So like that dad that who raised me, seeing him die and being just heartbroken because I thought everyone always got healed. And so yeah, false teaching is huge and it destroys people. It's demonic. Christ has called us to contend against it, which is why we're here today doing what we're doing. It's why we preach the gospel and confront lies. So yeah, this to see the devastating effects that this particular lie had on people I love and myself definitely fuels a lot of my passion to just see truth proclaimed and lies tore down.
So let's go ahead and start this off. Where do you want to jump into first? What is the first thing when we're talking about the Worldwide Church of God or Armstrongism? What is their primary belief? I know we talked about Herbert and how they believe that he is some kind of prophet that's mentioned in the New Testament, but where do they land on the gospel?
Yeah, it's basically a works-based religion that tries to take parts of the Old Testament, parts of the New Testament, while denying the God who wrote it, and points to salvation that is ultimately up to man, sustained by man, and glorifies man.
One thing that we have here is that Christ's gospel was not about himself. It was about the soon coming kingdom of God. So this isn't about Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, his victory over death and sin. This is about some soon coming kingdom of God, and that the admission is your good works.
Yes, it's partly we're saved by Jesus and keeping the law and keeping the holy days and keeping some of the dietary restrictions and not celebrating other days and keeping a seventh day Sabbath. So anytime you have the gospel and you don't have the gospel anymore, anytime you have salvation by Jesus plus something else, you have a false religion. You have a false Christ. You have a false idol. So they believe that, yes, you're saved by trusting in Jesus, but also all these other things as well. So if you had to do all these other things, why the cross then? If Jesus had to die, that means there's no other option. Jesus says in the garden, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. But the cup doesn't pass from him because there is no other way for the redemption, the purchasing of his people to redeem us out of the slavery and bondage of sin and the debt that we owe.
Yeah, so they keep these holy days and all of these strange rituals. You know, like that's basically what it is. You know, it's just on a little bit of a longer scale. And that's required for salvation?
To them, it is. We know that in the Old Testament, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets, all of the holy days, they pointed towards something. Jesus stood up and said, I am the living water. Come drink of me and you'll never thirst again. I am the bread of life. So all of the holy days pointed to Jesus. They were the shadow and he is the substance. And so that's why now we don't have to keep those holy days, because the fulfillment of what they pointed to has came. Jesus has come. Jesus has lived, died, rose again, is reigning. So we don't need the shadow anymore when we look to the substance, which is Christ himself.
So if you don't keep all these holy days and the Sabbath, and you even mentioned like the diet and all that, is that punishment hell then if you don't do that? So is everyone that isn't in Armstrongism, do they believe that those people are going to hell, or do they have some other strange belief?
Well, if you listen to him talk, and unfortunately you can listen to him talk because there are so many splinter groups of this cult, that his teachings are all over YouTube. And his program, when it was airing, was actually really like legit looking, really well done for like the 70s or 80s and things like that.
Wait, his program?
Yeah, he had a show called The Future Tomorrow.
Who carried that? Was it?
It was all over a lot of different places. It like was like
channels and stuff. Yes, on just like regular TV.
Yeah, and it's on YouTube, radio.
Well, so, but back then,
yeah,
it wasn't on YouTube.
No, no, but it is now. Yeah,
it was on TV though. Back then, right?
I mean, TV. Like, yeah,
turn on what some like your local news channel, and he'd be on there as like a where you buy space. You
know? Like paid programming.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you used to see like Flobies, or you used to see like ShamWows or something like that. And every now and then you at least used to, I haven't watched cable television like that in a long time, but you would see like different people like, who's this preacher? Like this weird preacher saying this weird stuff.
I'm sure they still got on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I remember seeing another cult leader, Yahweh Ben Yahweh, on a show that was like a paid programming.
It's quite the name.
Yes. Yes. And so, yeah, it would essentially be the equivalent of today. Just somebody creating a YouTube. And in fact, it happens today. Cult leaders like Teal Swan is a great example of the same kind of style Herbert Armstrong had.
So just going back to the original question, what is their belief on hell? You're saying that what he actually says, and then we got sidetracked on the programming.
Well, the programming is a big part of, like, watching his videos. He is such like a disarming guy because he looks like somebody's like sweet old grandfather. Like he's just real. He doesn't seem threatening. He doesn't seem like some lurking false prophet who's out to get you. And that's why I actually preached about that once. Like Satan appears as an angel of light. Satan doesn't come looking like horns and pitchforks and dragons. False teachers and false prophets don't wear like big black robes and hoods like druids. Yeah. They look like old men who look disarming and nice. But in reality, they are full of lies, and they're full of just falsehood. And so part of what they believe about hell, and pulling up a verse here that I remember my dad particularly used, but yeah, they do not believe in a literal hell. They don't believe in the eternal suffering of those who die apart from Christ. They have a really weird eschatology. So they believe that when you die, basically you go into soul sleep. So basically you just cease to exist. You cease to be conscious. And then at the second resurrection, some are resurrected and they're actually given the chance to trust Christ again, to believe God. And some, they don't trust God. And so they are put into the lake of fire, but they are annihilated from that. And that's why this doctrine is called annihilationism, because they believe that those who are judged unrighteous, those who are judged outside the body of Christ, or however they would put it, just cease to exist. They're thrown to a lake of fire. They're annihilated. There's no conscience torment. There's no eternal suffering. There is no eternal judgment. You just cease to exist.
And that's their final. So like, what do they do with, you know, Lazarus and the rich man?
Now, they would say that Lazarus and the rich man, that was before Christ. That was like, you know, so those people get resurrected. They probably don't have to go to the lake of fire. They'll hear about Christ and they'll hear this and that then. And that's all.
So the rich man has an opportunity then to, he gets resurrected. And then what, he has an opportunity to repent then?
Yes.
So there's a resurrection, a final opportunity for repentance. And if you still refuse, then you go to the lake of fire, and this where this
and you cease to exist.
Yeah.
And how does this have effect on the day-to-day life? My dad believed there is no eternal judgment for his actions, and he was a horrible man. The first time I ever sold drugs or was involved in drugs, I was 8 years old, and he put pills in my sock to run to somebody's house. And I would go to that house, prostitute or somebody would raise up my pants leg, take the pills out, put money back in, and I'd run back. He did all this. He was an abusive man. He was a lying man. Now, I'm not saying every moment I was around him was bad, but he was not someone I want to emulate as a husband or a father or a human being. I loved him, but the reality of him thinking he did not face judgment from a holy God affected him greatly, and affected me, and affected my mom and everyone I love.
Well, that's exactly what the enemy wants, though. Mm-hmm. The enemy wants us to think, oh, we can act however we want now. We don't need to follow Christ. We don't have to be a part of a church community. We don't have to be held accountable because we're just going to walk right in.
Yeah.
Apparently is the thought process.
Yeah. And look at the parallels between this and other cults we've talked about. Ekinkar, that was our first full episode. They believe there's no eternal judgment because you're resurrected and being reincarnated. And so you just get to try again, try again, try again. Here we see a cult that says there's no eternal judgment. You just get to cease to exist. And so that's your judgment. And so in both of these senses, Satan tells people there's no judgment. There's no judgment. You're not going to stand before a holy God and give an account for your life. There are not eternal consequences. And that is a huge, huge lie of the enemy.
Yeah, and to be clear, I mean, technically, we're not going to be standing before a holy God giving an account of our lives because we actually have Christ who intercedes for us. Is that not correct?
Yes, we won't be judged in the sense of salvation. Now, our works are judged, that white throne judgment where they're tried by fire and some come out as gold, some come out as wood, hay, and stubble. So our life is tried and judged in that sense, but not judged in the sense of if we are in or if we are out. We have placed our hope in Christ, his life, death, and resurrection.
Yeah, it's Christ gives us his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That is how anyone gains salvation through Christ. And that's why we don't look at any of this as a possibility of, oh yeah, I'm just going to walk right in because we're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing we can do. That doesn't mean we continue to sin, as Paul says.
Yeah.
That's not an excuse for that. But Christ is the one who intercedes for us, whereas they believe in just a more or less pseudo works-based salvation that also has some Jesus aspects to it, but hey, don't worry about it. You're just going to be annihilated if you totally screw up.
Yes, yeah. And that's so this is just the surface. Some of the other things, they deny the Holy Spirit. They are anti-Trinitarian, so they deny that Jesus is God, the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. So if the Holy Spirit isn't God, then you have a different God. If you don't worship the triune God, you worship a false image. You worship a graven image. You worship an image of that of man's creation, because God is who he says he is, and he gets to define himself, which is a big part of being God.
Now, we have this website up, Real Truth is what it's called.
Ironically.
It's a magazine restoring plain understanding. I mean, it's definitely plain understanding, but it's not accurate understanding.
And this is what Armstrong did a lot in his videos. It's very manipulative. It's very brainwash-like tactic. It's very deceitful. He says, now, I'd always been taught this way, and then I look at it now, and I have to be humble enough to lay down what I've always been taught to believe this. He says that all the time, and it's this kind of disarming false humility. It says, you know what? I was willing to lay down what I've been taught, which was the same thing you've been taught. I was humble enough to say I was wrong. Are you humble enough to say you were wrong? But are you humble enough to say I'm right?
Are you humble enough to say I'm right?
Yeah. Are you humble enough to lay down all your beliefs to follow me? That's what he's saying. And so he essentially disarms a lot of people with just this false gentleness, this false humility, and he lures people in by that. He would say things like this: where is the true church today? Where is the true church of God?
But I wanted to talk about that. You're talking about the where's the true church, and they're very much against denominations.
Yes.
And I wouldn't say denominations are a good thing, but I also wouldn't put them in a category of we can't have them.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1 Corinthians, where Paul talks about the weak person eats only fruits and vegetables, and the person who's not eats whatever they want kind of thing, people have different convictions is what Paul is saying.
Yeah.
And we have to take that into account. So if you have a specific conviction, that's okay for you to be in your own little denomination of people who also have those same convictions, but also you have to be a part of the greater community of Christ Church.
Yeah.
Which that's where we should be. I understand that's not where we're at, but that's where we should be. And I do see movement going in that direction. But this, the Worldwide Church of God or Armstrongism would say these denominations are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That this is dividing the church. And while that's not necessarily entirely false, it's not entirely true either. And for them to say Armstrongism is the only correct one, like you were just saying there, where is that true church at? They're saying it's them.
Absolutely.
That's a little prideful.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, we would never say, hey, the non-denominational churches is where it's at. We're the right ones. We would never say that. We would never say, hey, at least we're not Baptist. but that's essentially what they're saying.
Or even specific denominations, like, or at least I'm not like Southern Baptist or Assemblies of God or something like that. Yeah, denominations are like a tool. They can go really bad. They can go really well. I mean, there's useful parts of things like pulling money together and funding for missions, stuff like that. But there's also where it gets weird and political and things like that. So yeah, it's such a weird hill for somebody like this website here. That's what they're concerned about, is denominations. Here, you're believing all of these things, but denominations are what's got you triggered. That's a weird thing to be like that upset about.
Well, and they have in there, just like you were talking about the Holy Spirit, they deny the Holy Spirit. They do mention him in here, but then later on they say, yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit, not that important.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
It's insanely crazy.
He's literally the one sent by Christ to be our helper.
Yeah. He indwells believers. He is who regenerates our heart. He's who convicts us of sin. He's who empowers us for righteousness. Yes, the Holy Spirit is God, and he is worthy of majesty and worship and praise and adoration, all of those things. So to deny him as being God is to deny God altogether.
Doesn't Christ say to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
So the secondary dude, the Holy Spirit, he's just added in there. He just got like the honorable mention. Like, I don't understand where they're coming from here. Baptizing in the name of God, being the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. But apparently to them, the Holy Spirit doesn't make the cut.
Yeah. And I think it's like a lot of other cults where they try to say things that were added later in different creeds and councils. But yeah, they deny the Trinity. They believe there's one God, two spirits, like God the Father, God the Son. So they're not even like one God.
Well, they call it a community.
Yes.
They use the word community.
Which no one else does that.
Two people, you and I, we're not a community.
No.
That's not how that works. We're just two guys hanging out.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's three of us, I'd call that a community. Maybe I'm being a little strict on definition and usage here.
Yeah.
But that's how I feel about it. I feel like you can't have a community with only two people.
No, that's just like a couple of guys. Yeah.
It's just two people hanging out. So I think we can definitely go ahead and rule that out. Anyone who is in Armstrongism or thinks that this is the right way, or they're looking into it, you can definitely say that's wrong. So we talked about their stance that there essentially is no hell. There's a lake of fire and they have an annihilationism. Isn't that what you call it?
Yes.
Before we started recording today, you were telling me that Herbert had some very racist tendencies.
Yes, incredibly racist tendencies.
And so I want to touch on that, because this is where this leads. When we believe we have this license to sin, it essentially becomes God hates all the same people I hate.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's okay to them. I heard somebody say once, and this is probably a quote that I don't know who originally said it, but it was, you know that you've made God in your image when he hates all the same people you do.
That's an awesome quote.
That's so accurate.
Yeah.
You know?
It kind of like reminds me of all the people that say God likes us to only listen to certain music or not listen to other kind of music. And it always exactly lines up to their own personal preferences as well.
Ironic. That's so weird.
Yeah. What's the chances? Yeah.
Just a coincidence.
Yeah. So this cult is incredibly racist. They believe something that's called British Israelism. So basically, long story short, here's what he says happens. He goes through the Old Testament, 2 Kings 11, 1 Kings 12, 2 Kings 17, and he talks about basically the movement or the migration of the people of God. And so he basically is trying to do some linguistic gymnastics and trying to like read his ideas and ideology and views into the text, which is dangerous, and which is a lot of racist cults like this do this. And so basically what he believes is that white people like us, except not all white people, because some white people are Assyrians, but like that white people are the lost people of Israel. So here's the thing, the USA, white Americans are the tribe of Manasseh. White British people are from the tribes that came from Joseph. Germany is the descendant of Assyria, and black people are cursed. That's what they believe. Because he's a racist.
Like, no, he doesn't even like cherry pick something out of the Bible to say so.
Well, there's descendants of, they're the descendants of Cain. They're all the kind of typical, like, they're cursed from God, and that's why they have black skin and things like that.
This is something new to me. Cain had descendants?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, the wife. So they would believe that when God sent Cain and his wife away, they gave him a mark so that no one would kill him. But that's what that was. They believed that his black skin. Which is horribly racist.
Oh, right.
Horribly racist.
So the mark that you're evil,
yeah,
right, is, was that what the mark was, so that no one would harm him?
Yeah, yeah. but also so the mark know. That it was him.
Well, like, that, you know, okay, but that can't be true.
It can't,
that can't
be
true, because
and it's not.
Black people have been harmed a lot.
Absolutely.
So how is it that they, because the mark prevents him from being harmed?
Yeah. Well, at least Cain personally.
Cain personally, I suppose. But, I mean, you would think that mark would still carry its power if it was passed on to his descendants.
You would think.
Yeah, you would think. I think that's a load of crap.
It is. And so they actually taught that, like, interracial marriage was sinful. So right now we're preaching through Judges, and we see this book where the people of God married other nations where God had told them not to. This had nothing to do with that interracial marriage from different ethnicities is a sin. This had to do with God wants his people to be holy and set apart from the world. So we should marry other believers. That's not saying that it's a sin to marry outside your ethnic race, which is what Herbert taught.
You know, when I attended essentially like a Bible study, it was a Bible study at a church I went to before I started coming to Freedom House. And I just remember how quiet the room would get. You'd always have that guy or that girl that they would begin to share, and they'd kind of be like, I've got this boyfriend or girlfriend, and they don't come to church, and they said they don't really believe in the Bible, and they said they were raised going to church, and they don't believe all that. And I'd say, so are you a Christian? And they'd go, yeah, oh yeah, I'm definitely a Christian. And I'd say, and they're not a Christian. And they go, no, they're not a Christian. And I say, you need to break up with them. The whole room would just look at me like, oh, he went there. I'm like, yeah, I'm going there. You need to break up with them. Like,
why would you date someone you can't marry?
That's the problem. They do get married to them.
Yes.
And you cannot do that. I don't care, this whole bogus garbage where people are like, oh, but we're in love. No, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You're being selfish. You're being, frankly, unreasonable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to get married to somebody who does not have the same values as you mm-hmm. do, who does not believe in the same salvation as you do, who does not want to follow the same God that you do. That's the biggest part of your life.
Yes.
And if it's not, you also have another problem you need to address. Because if you're not focused on Christ in everything you do, then you're obviously worshiping a false idol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people would take that to be like, oh, so what am I supposed to do? Like, walk around singing hymns all the time? Yeah, kind of. No, not really. Not exactly. But if you're making your decisions in life based on, well, this is a business decision, so I need to make it like a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
No, you need to have aspects of your faith in that. Mm-hmm. You need to have aspects of your faith in every decision you make, including, I mean, everything from the business you do or where you work, who your friends are and mm-hmm. who you associate with, how you raise your children, who you choose to marry, and even where you go on vacation.
Absolutely. How you spend money, everything.
Especially how you spend money. Absolutely. It's crazy to me that we have so many that would claim to be a believer, but then want to put so much emphasis on outside aspects.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how that you've been together since high school. You probably shouldn't have been with them from the beginning.
Absolutely.
That's your fault that you've allowed yourself to get pulled in to this relationship where you've now grown to love somebody that you shouldn't marry.
Absolutely.
And they have this mentality like, oh, but he can change or she can change. You know, they you don't know. They might become. You're right. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They might not. So
it might get worse.
You can't marry them. You need to go find a Christian that's going to share your same values.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I think people were kind of shocked when my wife and I got married, but we were both like, yeah, you know, we're both believers. We're both Christians.
Mm-hmm.
We go pretty well together. Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
And that was the best decision I've ever made.
And that's one of those things where, like, speaking of Judges, looking through the book of Judges and how the people of God had been shaped more by the idols of the nations around them and their false religions and their false worldviews than the truth of scripture and the God who rescued them out of Egypt. And so when it comes to like our marriages being sacred and being holy, it's about that, where this guy has made it about white supremacy. He's made it about control. He's made it about power. He's made it about you had to come to him to even like approve to be married and stuff like that.
And the only time you should be making a decision based on any aspects like that, in my personal opinion, is if you're a redhead and you want other redheaded children. Like, because that's a recessive gene. If you marry anybody else, if you marry someone with brown hair, blonde hair, you're not going to have redheads. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So that's the only time that I think that it's okay to make a decision like that.
Yeah. So he definitely just has made it about control, about power. He's taking scripture and twisting it. So my dad would literally say, like, it says in the scripture, you can't marry, like, you know, someone else of your race. And I'm like, here's the thing. My dad gave me away to my grandparents, who raised me in a predominantly black neighborhood. I went to a predominantly black elementary school, went to a predominantly black boys and girls club. And then a couple of times a week, I'd go to this other neighborhood in Hamilton and see my racist dad. And so it was like real weird. It was real like, and we would be at odds and in this tension all the time. He had said some horrible things. He would see interracial couples online and say, man, this is horrible. This is ugly. This is disgusting. One point online, and this isn't my child. This is like a few years ago before he passed. He said, thank God for sickle cell. And it's like the ugliest thing I ever heard.
Wow.
And so it would break my heart. I pray for him. I prayed for him a lot before he passed. He died in January 2020. And I remember talking to my older brother, and he said, you know, because I'm processing, I'm mourning my biological dad. I talked to him like once in like 3 years. And 3 years ago, he told me he didn't want to talk to me ever again. A year and a half after that, I talked to him once because his third kid, my second oldest brother, died. And so I saw my dad that day. And then that was the last time I talked to him. He didn't talk to me after that. But yeah, he was. To his death, he believed this. Before his funeral, my brother said, do you want to preach the funeral? Because I was going to get somebody who believed like he believes. I'm like, no, I'll preach the funeral. You're not going to let one of these charlatans preach to people I love or anybody if I can control it. So that day that was his funeral, I wasn't planning on preaching it at the beginning when he died because it's a weird thing, but I definitely did and shared the gospel. So on his gravestone, there's a cross and there's a Star of David for this cult. That breaks my heart, that this cult marks my father's life and even his death. But the gospel saves. And so I'm thankful that God's provision and providence didn't let me go down this road here. But I'm thankful for a grandmother that stood up and said, you're not going to take him to this church. I'm thankful for grandparents who taught me truth and prayed with me and loved me. I'm thankful for those around me and just God saving me from this kind of lies.
So what did you preach at that funeral? Were there people in attendance there from Armstrongism churches?
I'm not sure there was anyone there who like just came out like and flatly believes that I'm aware of. I know it was his older brother that got him into it who died years before him. And so that day I just preached the gospel truthfully and using my dad as an example. And that was not easy, but really what I preached was what he had taught me. And a lot of what he taught me came through what not to do, what not to be, how not to live, what not to believe. But so, yeah, it was hard. But I'm thankful that that day, even in pain, even in hardship, grieving and tears, that the gospel got preached and not this kind of lie, not this works-based, God-gospel-demoting heresy.
So what do you have to say to people who are in a church that is Armstrongism or believes Armstrongism? Or even came from the Worldwide Church of God, which isn't around anymore.
No, not in its proper sense. I think there's like the Restored Church of God, the Real Church of God. There's a lot of different splinter groups and a lot of people that adhere to it. So what I would say to people that believe this, and a lot of people, this appeals to them because the gospel probably seems just like too good, or that Christian life seems too simple. That there's got to be something more. It's almost like with the, when we talked about deliverance ministry, for them in deliverance ministry, there has to be some kind of supernatural demon fighting experience. Where here, it's like, there has to be something I have to do. The fact that Jesus paid all of my sins on the cross, that he took everything, every bit of guilt that I owed, every bit of pain that I had caused, every bit of shame that I had brought upon myself from my own sin, my own rejection of the gospel, my own rebellion and treason against God. Jesus pays all of that. And I get in response his perfect righteousness as he's drawn me to himself through the Spirit to faith and repentance. And now I'm called to just live for that in trust and faith in the resurrected Savior. Man, it's got to be something else I got to do, right? There's got to be something else to it. It can't be that good. It can't be. And so I think that's a big part of it. I also think the American church has made such a nonsensical display of the church of God, the real church of God, not this, but the church, that we are so goofy, that we have so many worldly, attractional, just weird things, that there's this call to like, let's come back to the sacred. Let's come back to the original. Let's come back to where it was pure. And a lot of people, they'll look to the early church, they'll look to Hebrew beliefs and try to mix that in. Or you'll see Mormonism, where it's like a liar like Joseph Smith will say, the church has gone apostate, the church is this, this church is that. But the thing is that God is not raising up another man to lead a different church. He is pointing his church to the one who's already came and risen, and that's Christ. And so it's not about finding new truth. It's about standing upon and remembering the truth of the gospel that we've been given. Like, remember in Hebrews where it says, in old God spoke this way, but now God speaks through Christ. If you have experience with a cult, or you are in a cult, or any experience with today's subject, please contact us. You can find our contact information in the show notes.
You can hear more of Pastor Aaron's teachings on the Freedom House YouTube channel. All his sermons are posted there every Sunday. You can learn more about Freedom House Ministries at www.hamiltonfreedomhouse.com.